Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Story Points Podcast. We have with us today Joseph, Senior Infrastructure Engineer, Greg, Data Analyst, and the voice for all of you, George, Front-End Engineer, and myself, Founding Engineer. So I think the last time we saw all of you, we had episode 11 about mentorship and how mentors are there to help guide you in your career, kind of point you in the right direction, but you'll have your own struggles. So we thought that today's episode and topic, episode 12, we should talk about imposter syndrome.
Nice. We flip it on them.
Yeah.
Some negative topics. So I figured I'll kick us off with a definition of imposter syndrome in case people out there aren't aware. I'm sure it's something you've heard of before, but maybe you don't know exactly what it is. So it involves feelings of self-doubt and personal incompetence that persist despite your education, experience, and accomplishments. So in layman's terms, you think you suck at everything, even though like there's really no true support to that claim. You kind of don't believe in yourself. You think you're a fraud or you don't deserve to be where you are.
So something that I, like growing up, my dad always told me when I played tennis is like, you should always be humble. And I think there's like this fine line of being humble, bragging, and then like imposter syndrome. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Where you just never think you're good enough, where you're just being so humble.
Yeah. Like, people like, oh, you're so good at baseball. It's like, I'm all right. And then you're actually like pretty good. But then that kind of, the more you say like, I'm all right, you're just in your head. Like, yeah, I am just all right at it. Even though you're like you're amazing.
You know, but you're always looking at somebody else who's better. And you're like, well, that guy's really good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not good.
Which ironically can be just as annoying as the guy who's like, I'm the best. Like if you talk to someone who's like significantly better than you at something and you're like, wow, you're really good, man. They're like, no, I'm not that good. It's like, what the hell am I?
Yeah.
So have we, I assume, I know I have. Have we all felt imposter syndrome at some point?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I feel like it's one of those things, though, like you don't realize it's happening until later on. You know what I mean? Like,
or someone points it out to you.
Yeah.
Like we all have it in waves.
Yes.
It comes and it goes.
Someone told me the other day, like, oh, that's just your imposter syndrome talking. I'm like, no, it's not. I don't think it is.
So does everybody you think have imposter syndrome?
I don't know. So I think it kind of depends on your... we're going to kind of focus on work. I know we talked a little bit about other things, but like I think I've only heard about imposter syndrome like in the field of tech, and that was only within the past few years. I've never heard it in like nursing or accounting. Greg? Accounting.
I would disagree. Yeah, no, I think it can... It can take forms in any industry.
Yeah, so what I mean is, like, have you ever heard anyone say, oh, Greg, you're having imposter syndrome?
No,
everyone has felt it. It's just the actual two words.
Not in accounting, because I'm pretty sure I actually did suck at that.
That's your imposter syndrome.
That might
talking.
Be my imposter syndrome showing. But, yeah, I mean, like, I'm going through it right now, switching fields. There's definitely a big part of the back of my head, especially my first few weeks. I'm like, am I ever going to figure this stuff out? And like, luckily I already started to, and that feeling has started to dissipate much faster than I was expecting. But I think it's just something that you can experience in so many different ways. It's not something that once you like beat it, it's going to go away forever.
Yeah.
And it's also something that won't last forever, you know,
but it makes sense.
Shouldn't.
That you have it in a new role where you're learning and like a lot of this is brand new to you. Like that makes sense. I guess with engineers, it's one of those things that just like constantly lingers because tech changes all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, oh, you need to work with something new. And then you start panicking. Oh, man, like, I don't know how to do any of this.
I think from the outside perspective, too, into the tech world, I feel like the tech world has so much more exposure on like social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Like, I think a lot
especially
of people
recently.
tie in difficulty of jobs with salaries of jobs. And we've talked about how like tech jobs are always kind of advertised as extremely high paying or like, you know, take this computer course and you'll make 100K like within a year or something like that. So I think that probably plays a part in it, or some people may be like, oh, well, I can't pick that up now. There's no way I can figure that out, or people are definitely going to be smarter than me and whatever.
Yeah. And then even in tech, like you have that, the kind of like persona or kind of just who you are, everyone just assumes like you're super smart, right? Like, I don't know. I always feel like, oh, you must know math and you must be
when you talk to really non-technical smart, people. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing about like something like finance though, compared to tech, right? Like there's a certain way that you have to do things, right? It's like, oh, you have to like, whatever, like close the books and you have to, all your numbers have to kind of.
The numbers got to match. There's right. no so like in between. Yeah.
There's no thinking of like, how do I make this work in a certain way? So like, it's very different as like in tech, it's like you could do this a million ways. So you have to like.
It's very ambiguous.
Figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of fields that way where it's like, you know, there's a certain way you have to do this and then you do it and like, that's it. You know what you're doing.
Basically. So where I think the imposter syndrome can tie in is, yeah, like, when you like getting to the final answer, like the final answer is the final answer. But, and I think this is a big part, tech played a big part in this. Now there's a lot of new ways to do stuff, right? Like instead of, whether it's just like an older software that a company's using, some people may doubt that they're able to actually move on to a new software and be able to learn it and things like that. They think maybe they're too old or whatever it is. I've seen that firsthand, like my last job, when we switched systems, there were a lot of people who were, you know, maybe like 5 years from retirement, and they're like, how the hell am I going to learn a new system?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, essentially, it's supposed to make your life easier. So you just kind of have to trust that you have the ability to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, do you guys remember your first time with imposter syndrome?
I can give two examples, not for myself, but I'll give one example that kind of comes to mind is when we were working at Zillion. I don't know if you remember, but there was a guy who we used to work with who was like very smart. And we would always say like, you're so smart, you know what you're doing. And then he like definitely had imposter syndrome. He's like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just like looking up answers and then I'm telling you guys the answers. And it's like, you know, you look at him in that light of, oh, he knows everything. Meanwhile, he's just in the background, like, oh, Googling
Stack Overflow.
Yeah, basically, like, just, you know, reading the docs or on something and figuring it out, where it's like, I didn't know how to do that. I just, like, read it and figured it out. But he, like, didn't think of himself as being that smart.
Are you talking about Boat Dude?
Yeah.
Nice. First person. Boat Dude. First person I thought of, that's why. For me, it was actually, like, I think the first time I remembered it is just graduating from college, because, you know, we've taken internships, and I just remember sitting at my desk at an internship like, I definitely can't do this. I have no idea what anyone is talking about. And especially in tech, like the terms just go right over your head. Mm-hmm. And I think I've told the story of just like writing down every word don't understand and just like looking it up at my first job. Yeah. Every little thing. And I just remember like, I definitely can't do this, to the point where I didn't even look for a job for a whole year. I was like, I don't know if I want to do
just
this.
Scared to even
yeah,
try.
Just to try, but it was eventually I was like, I'm tired of retail jobs. So yeah.
I didn't even think of like buzzwords, but
yeah,
that's something that even affects me to this day. Like I'll hear the back end engineers mentioning like whatever this service, this queue, blah blah blah, and I'm like, what the hell what are they talking about? Am I supposed to know this? Like someone asked me a question and I completely blank and I'm like, I actually don't know. And they have to go ask someone else. And I feel like, oh man, should I have known that? Like, why did they ask me? Like, is this something I should look up? Should I talk to someone about this? But I remember at Zillion, my first like thought of, oh man, this is really tough. Shouldn't I know this? Is just syntax. Like, how to write a function, how to use, we didn't have React back then, but like even now it comes up like how to use state, how to use effect, like just writing basic things out that you've written a million times.
There's that engineering, like front end engineering meme that goes around. It's like first year in the job, looking up how to center a div. 10 years later, still looking up how to center a div. Yeah. I'm like, I still don't know how to do it.
Center something vertically, horizontally, both.
Google it every time, and there it is. First link, I clicked on it. It's last visited, purple. 3 years ago.
yeah, that It's kind of funny how like there's little things like that that we just never remember. Yeah. And
so how did you guys get amazing. Over kind of that first wave of imposter syndrome?
Do you?
So I think this goes hand in hand with mentorship. It wasn't a mentor, but it was like my surroundings. Like my first job, just like you guys, like yeah. right out of college, I was like, I'm not like my first day learning like new system and the person's like flying through it. And I'm just like, how am I ever going to learn all these
writing
functions
down
and
every
whatever?
Single button they
yeah, try. You like can't that. Even write it down fast enough. And then like a few weeks went in, I kind of was starting to go on my own. And then like we were having a problem and my boss had all of the newer people. And he was like, what do you guys think? Like, this is the problem. What do you guys think our next step should be? But it was like a very, he didn't expect us to know the answer. He just wanted us to try and think. Oh. No, like something was actually wrong.
Okay.
It was like a bunch of stuff was
just like pitting everybody against.
No, it was just like a bunch of like wrong billings and something like that. Cause this was at a law firm. And he was like, how can we identify X or whatever? And so like I raised my hand and he was like, yeah, that's what I would do. And like at that moment I was like, oh, like I could actually figure something out. Like it was a very basic question, yeah. mm-hmm. but I'm sure everyone else in that room was like too scared to speak up and yep. be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my first time where I was like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah. I like one thing that does help, I know it helped me similar to you of like seeing someone who's more senior in your career, just ask a dumb question. Yeah. It kind of like eases your anxiety and whatnot.
Or
like
I don't know what I'm doing
struggle with they something. Don't know something.
Exactly. It's yeah. Like
you can relate because you also don't know. That.
Oh yeah. I don't know it either.
Yeah. I mean, as I got older, I used to appreciate my mom complaining about her job and some people that she had to deal with. And I'm like, well, those people have had jobs forever. I'll be fine. Like I'll always be able to find a job. And then you kind of think about all the people, like all the people that you know, and it's like they probably have had that same feeling as you at some point. Like people that you're like, wow, I bet that person's really good at their job. And if you ask that person, they may not think that they're very good at their job.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Boat Dude's friend, we've talked about him, Steve. He would always say, like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of fumbling around here. And I remember we worked together our first job, and I was like, he's so smart. Like, how does he know all this stuff? How does he know what to look up?
But I'm sure he was doing the same thing with other people that he was working with.
He was just like, I'm the one that broke it, so I know how to fix it. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the things for me, when I first started at my company, I used to have one-on-ones with the VP of our department. And there was one day we were in our one-on-one and he was asking me, like, we were just talking about like, you know, being more visible and stuff like that amongst the team. And one of the things that he asked me was like, well, what holds you back from being more visible? And I was like, well, because I just doubt that what I like have to say is the right thing. So he was like straight up just like, okay, so what percent of the time, like afterwards, were you actually correct? And I was like, probably like 80%. He's like, well, right there is your answer. Like, you know what you're doing. So just be more confident in it, I guess.
And on the flip side, I found what helped me a lot. Early in my career, I was always afraid to say, I didn't understand. I don't understand. Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
And now it's like, even if it should be something super simple, if I don't get it right away, I'm like, can you repeat? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, kind of being okay with admitting that you may not know something or understand something. Because if you say you do and you don't, that's a lot of extra pressure on yourself.
I think that's even worse, too.
Yeah, and then, like, if you can't...
Why didn't you just say you didn't know it?
You can't go back, so then you really start doubting yourself, but you've put yourself in that position. So I think one way, this isn't necessarily to get out of it, but more so more a proactive approach to keep yourself from falling into that trap is like, don't be afraid to admit you didn't understand or you didn't listen or something like that.
If you get
like a bad response, then maybe reevaluate the
environment. But that's on them. It's not
exactly 100%.
But pro tip, if you ask, oh, I don't know what that means, and they explain it to you, you can always backtrack and be like, oh yeah, yeah, now I remember, that makes sense. Yeah, I know what that means now, and then now you know what it means.
Yeah. Well, so here's the other thing about that, though, because like I feel like in the beginning of your career, you're definitely in that mindset of I want to like prove myself and I want to like make myself seem that, or like make other people think that I know what I'm doing. But then at one point in your career, you're just like, I already know all this stuff. I already have respect against, like, amongst all the peers that you're working with. So you can ask that dumb question, be like, I don't know what that is, right? Like, how do I do that? Somebody says something and you're just like, I don't know what that means, right?
I think you just got to start.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, like, I'm just thinking this.
It almost sounds like fake it till you make it, almost. Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. But, like, you're scared in the beginning because you don't want people to think you're dumb. But, like, once you have the rep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, I don't care anymore.
Well, you're that guy that I mentioned, like, oh, he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And then you make everyone else feel comfortable enough to ask the dumb question.
So would you say, like, a lot of people feel imposter syndrome early on when they aren't expected to know things, but then the more you know, the more likely it's to creep in because now you're the person everyone's going to?
Oh, yeah. That happened to me, like, earlier this year where I'm the only engineer, right? And they're saying, all like, the marketing people, the growth and product person, saying a lot of, like, marketing growth acronyms. I'm like, I don't know what any of this means. And I'm just sitting there like, yep. I'm like, I don't know what any of this means, but it, I was like, it's not my problem. It's not my problem to really know what it means. But it made
me feel
like,
have to act on it.
But that's where it made me feel like, man, like, do I have the skill set to do this? It's like, I do. I already built the MVP and everything. So it's like, it was creeping in, but then, like, I reeled myself back of like, all right, you've done XYZ already. You know you can do it. It's just ask what the hell this means. So then I asked, and then he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to talk in acronyms. And I'm like,
yeah, once you point it out, then they realize not everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, not everyone is living 24/7 in growth terms and whatnot.
Right.
Do you guys have any specific strategies you can think of? There's one that I've implemented at my new job, and I can get into that first if you want as an example.
Please do.
Okay. No, so one thing is I've looked at how I write things. Like, instead of saying, I think the answer is blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yes. I've done that. Yeah.
And
I
gave my first, like, real presentation the other day and it went great. And instead of saying, I believe or I think there's an opportunity for the company to do this, I just put, there is an opportunity for the company to do. And it just kind of adds a little more confidence. And then once you're reading it, you know, it's, the confidence just comes out in the word, in the wording. So you don't really have to overthink about how you're presenting it. So that's one thing I've implemented, and it's helped a lot.
I think that's a really good one, because that is definitely something that I do all the time. And I've even, like, written that out, or I think it's this, and then I've backed it out.
Yeah.
Just to be like, you know, I'm sure it's this.
So. I'm sure we've all had teachers who are like, I think the answer. It's like, you think or you know?
Bro, come on.
You tell me.
I'm in second grade. Give me a break.
It was nap time 30 minutes ago.
I just finished my juice box. All right, I got a sugar high. Like, I can't even function right now.
And then you say, can I go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Can
you?
I'm going to the bathroom.
There you go. Assert your dominance over the second grade teacher.
So I have another one.
Hated that. But, oh, I was going to go back to what... This is, like, at least a few minutes ago from what you were talking about before, about being confident in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I remember just, I think I've said it to you before, a rocket trip, one of the senior engineers, he was like, dude, you know what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, how many times have I said something stupid versus how many times have I said something smart? And I was like, I don't know. You seem like you're right all the time. He's like, well, I say 1,000 stupid things a day, but you only remember the one smart thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And that's, like, the little piece of advice I always tell people.
That's a good one, too. Because I've definitely worked with, like, more senior engineers who are like, yeah, I say stupid stuff all the time. And it's just...
You don't remember it.
You know that they're doing good work. So it's just like...
You'll remember it. You'll remember when you say it. Yeah. But everyone else will probably have forgotten by the end of the day.
Yeah. Or even, like, 2 minutes later.
I have a story from this past week.
Story points.
So this past week at work, everything kind of broke. And a lot of it was...
This guy took down production?
It wasn't me this time. A lot of it was outside of our team. So we didn't have control over it. We didn't know, like, when things were going to recover. And I saw my tech lead jump into a million different channels and ask a million different questions. And he was actually the one that asked me, like, hey, what about XYZ? And I was like, I don't know what this is. I've never worked with it. And he immediately just, like, pinged the next person. And I think just seeing the tech lead for my team ask these, like, really basic questions.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not familiar with
the thing. To a bunch of different teams, it was very, like, eye-opening. Like, he's focused on, and this might be, like, a strategy to, you know, overcome imposter syndrome, but he's focused on, I need to solve the problem. Doesn't matter if I look like an idiot. I need to get answers to all these questions. And yeah, like at the end, he was on top of things and was like, no one thought any less of him for asking all those questions. And
that's, yeah, shit, they were probably impressed with him asking those questions, yeah, and getting the, 'cause
it's very like, needed. It shows initiative. Anything.
That also like ties into like tech culture, right? Like how many times have we seen where like, oh man, tech culture is so nice because you can ask the dumb questions versus other other industries, you know, they might laugh at you for asking such a dumb question, but it's like,
it's almost encouraged.
Yeah, it's almost encouraged. Like you said, it's encouraged.
Yeah, in our especially field. Like that during an outage where it's like, everybody needs to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs the information. Just ask the dumb questions.
And I used to feel that way about requests where I'm like, why don't I understand what that person's trying to say? But now I realize, well, maybe that person just didn't do a good job of explaining it to me. And I used to try to avoid, and this is partly just like an introverted problem, like try to avoid having to like actually talk to the person. But now I'm just if you don't understand what I'm asking you, just let's set up a call. And if someone asks me something and I really don't understand, I'm just like, can I get further clarification? Can we just speak? Because it's always going to be easier than...
Also, and it's a 5-minute call.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it resolves everything.
Yeah.
But it also is helpful because you don't have to type out all of your dumb questions.
Yeah.
Dumb questions in whatever...
You got a transcript of your dumb
questions. Everybody's like, well, he asked these stupid questions. But if you're on the call, there's no record of it except for with the guy.
Also, you avoid the common, you ask three questions, they answer the first one and just ignore the others.
Yeah. And you're like, well, now I got to go back to them.
Yeah. Happens a lot. So I think one more strategy that I have is, and I heard this on a podcast terribly. I don't know. I'd shout it out, but I don't remember. It was a while back. About how when you kind of imposter syndrome, you're kind of like thinking down about yourself. You're like you're putting yourself down. So imagine like if it was your friend telling you what you're feeling, you'd probably be like, no, man, like, you know, you're probably just doing your best. Try these strategies. Do you know you're way better than you think, blah, blah, blah. So try to like take yourself out of your body and talk to yourself in the third person as if you were trying to console a friend. And how would you tell your friend to act differently? And that actually like really works, right? Because it's so easy to beat yourself up. But if my wife was complaining about like the exact same thing, I'd be like, no, like you're talking down on yourself. You're way smarter than that, blah, blah, blah. But it's a lot harder for us to do that internally. So try to kind of like almost talk to yourself third person. It's a little weird, but it's way easier to talk to yourself positively if you think you're talking to someone else.
Talking in the mirror.
You can do it.
Yeah.
You got this, man.
Like kind of like affirmations, I guess, but not to like that extent. So it's just one more.
Yeah, it's like reflecting on what you've done, right? So like the reason why, like no matter what, if Joe were to move to a different company, if I were to move to a different company, all of us, George, you go to that company, they have a specific way they do things, but you take your experience there and you kind of lean on it to kind of figure out what to do. Like, oh, I remember at Zillion, we did this. Okay, how do I apply that to what I'm dealing with right now? Mm-hmm. So like, I think that kind of goes into like, almost every time you start a new job, you're going to kind of feel that imposter syndrome because you're getting overwhelmed with all these this new information. And like, I know when I onboard a new place, I'll have a headache like that day because there's so much information coming in and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Stressing yourself out, I think.
Yeah, probably. It's like, I don't know what's that guy's name?
Well, you mentioned...
I met him three times.
You mentioned new job, and I think that's probably one of the biggest culprits is like when you move up, like promotion, or you change companies because it's a totally new situation. You know that you beat out other people, but then day one, you're almost never going to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to keep that from creeping in. So I think it's important to note that it's like totally natural to have these feelings. It doesn't mean that they're true. And, you know, the strategies that we just mentioned are really good. But I don't think we mentioned that this is just kind of bound to happen. It's kind of a natural way of life. It's just a part of being a human being, I think.
And it's not just in work. It's almost in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So something that happened recently that helped me with imposter syndrome was becoming the only front-end engineer on the team, because suddenly everyone is asking me all the front-end questions. And I think that just helped, like, confidence-wise. Like, after answering so many questions, you stop starting with "I think," and you just start saying, like, "This is how it works. This is how, like, it's not this, it's this." And I think just, like, being the guy for something definitely helps. 'Cause suddenly, like, I think you do it, you answer the same thing so many times that, like, you start to just know it off the top of your head.
That you
do
know.
Yeah, it's also like you look something up and you're like, "Oh, I did know it." And then you say it, and then it's just like repetition over and over again. Like, "Oh, yeah, I was right."
But there are times where I like do start an app locally to test what I'm about to say, and I think I've just gotten like so used to doing that over and over that like I'm just getting faster and faster. So I hope that other people would say it makes me, I seem like more on the ball, because definitely when I started, someone would ask me something and I'd be like, and I'd literally ping the other engineer and be like, "Hey, someone asked me this. What do I say?" And I guess like that's.
Would you say he was your mentor?
Kind of. Yeah.
Hmm. Kind of. Episode 11.
Shout out. Episode 11. My last job, my team would come to me all the time about Excel questions, either basic or, and I would just be like, "Oh yeah, like, just like give me a few minutes. I think I know how. I just Google it." It's like, you know, I don't know, but I know where to find
that guy.
I know where to get
smart.
The answer.
Yeah. But that's skill.
Exactly.
Googling skills.
Yeah. Being resourcefulness is.
That's like half our job, right?
Yeah.
Google and figure out what it means.
How do I write a function?
How do you copy? How do you paste?
Control R.
So I think maybe we should talk about the flip side. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, of like where you've kind of overcome that imposter syndrome, but then you're a little overconfident and you're just like, no, I know what I'm talking about. And you're kind of just like stubborn, I guess is the right term. You guys ever felt that before?
No. Yes. But it's not work related.
Stubborn.
Okay.
It's WoW related. It's video game related. Running a guild.
Let's go.
I won't get too far into it, but you know, kind of.
Should we leave? Do you want to make?
No,
this?
I could talk all day.
Story point like, stories about WoW.
No, like you have to organize. You have to organize like events for 30, 40 people, blah blah blah, and you can't make everyone happy.
Yeah.
And there were definitely times where I was left to make the decision myself, and sometimes I would doubt it because I know that there were rumblings and people wouldn't agree. And then other times, whether people agreed or not, I was like, "I know what is best for everyone. Like, I know what's best for you. I know what's best for you."
Yeah,
and it's difficult, but I know it sounds like silly because it's a video game, but it actually is like a really stressful like job.
Yeah. No, but if you're
managing a lot of people, like,
and someone has to make that decision.
If I was ever hiring someone and they had like ran a WoW Classic guild for X amount of months, blah blah blah, I'd be like, "You are manager material." Like there's no doubt.
If
like
anyone said, interviews with this man,
this
just
is what
bring
he
up
says
WoW
in his interviews.
And I know it sounds ridiculous.
You could email him at storypointsdev@gmail.com.
You either get it or you don't. But that's just honestly the only time where I could where I definitely felt like, yeah, I know better than everyone else, which was probably not the best way to think, especially when you're trying to like manage people, right? You want their input, but at some point, at the same time, you're never going to get all those people to agree with you. You just have to do what you think is best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember before, I think it was before Compass for sure, where I was like, I can start my own app, my own startup, whatever it is. And it probably that was probably a wise decision not to ever jump into that. So kind of mid into my career, I thought I was ready, but I definitely wasn't until I kind of experienced
knowing
Compass.
What you know now.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Like knowing what I had to go through to start Balanced, it was like, wow, definitely was not ready a few years ago.
Yeah. I was never overconfident. I was never confident to begin with, so no.
I started out by saying no, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick with no, but also I just feel like that's sort of how I am, where I like don't have that I'm going to be an asshole. Not be an asshole, but overly like in your face, like, yes, this is how it's done. Like, if I knew how it was done, like, I would give you like links to a bunch of shit and I would prove that that's how it's done. Mm-hmm. Just as like, hey, this is like how to do something, or this is why I'm right, but like, not overconfident.
It's funny because, like, it's funny you say that because I know, like, growing up, you would always say things. And I'm like, oh, Joe seems so confident in that. And I would just take it and be like, yeah, you know, that's it. Just do it that way. And
I mean,
I've taken little things you've said and, like, it's influenced the way I've done things. So,
wow. I don't know what I'm doing.
Pop, pop.
What were you going to say?
I might just be lucky at Capsule, but whenever someone does ask me a question and it's like, oh, something's broken, is it front-end related or back-end related? I guess people have been very receptive to me saying, no, it's not the front-end. The front-end is just like displaying whatever it gets. So people don't really like question enough for me to like doubt, oh,
well,
or for me to have
guy.
To be an asshole.
But you're the guy.
But I think it's also like kind of dependent on environment. Like, I just wanted to point out, like, if you're in a good environment and people listen and people, you know, have a good back and forth, you're probably less likely to run into situations where you have to be the asshole and you have to, like, I don't know. It's like good and bad. No? No one?
I don't want to say yeah.
Thumbs up.
Waiting for Roger's cue if we agree or not.
We all agree.
He gave the thumbs up.
I agree. So I think we've talked about doubting our abilities, but another part of imposter syndrome is thinking that you weren't worthy of an accomplishment. So whether that be a promotion or an award or something like that, have any of you had that experience? Or even like, yeah, your position.
I think usually when I don't get a promotion, it's like, why the fuck did I get a promotion? I did all these things. What do you mean? Confident.
Probably that's part of it.
So, no.
I mean,
it's a tough question because I know.
Like, I thought I was going to get fired and I got a promotion.
I feel like that's the.
I'm on the other end.
No, but that's the perfect example of
exactly.
Imposter syndrome.
You thought it was going to be the exact opposite. So, clearly, yeah. You didn't think you were worthy of a promotion because you thought that you were going to be fired.
Yeah, and you always have to remember, because people are going to feel that way, especially when they start a job, maybe a few months into it. It's like, they hired you because they believed you can figure it out. Yeah, you're not going to know everything right there and then of like how the company does things, but they hired you for that reason. Like, oh, he can figure it out, or they can figure it out.
So ironically, yesterday was my 1 year laid off anniversary. And I just remember going to dinner for my mom's birthday the night before. And I was like, I had a meeting. It just said catch up with my boss the next day. And I was like, this is bad. Like, just
so you got that.
No, invite, yeah. Like, it was invite day, like Thursday right. night. And I said to my wife, I was like, I'm going to get fired. And she's just like, why do you talk so negative? Like, you know, she was the outside voice being like,
though.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then I remember as soon as like the HR person joined the call, I texted her. I was like, it's happening. Like, and like reflecting on that, it was a positive turning point in my life. But I just find it ironic because I had that imposter syndrome. I had no reason to really believe that I was actually going to get let go, but it just so happened to be true. So that's the opposite of you. I'm glad you were wrong.
Yeah, we don't need that happening again. Although you'd probably go to the gym more often.
That's true.
So speaking of gym, we've mentioned it like offhanded in here, but I started my own brand like a few years ago called 9 to 5 Fitness.
And it's 925? The numbers?
The numbers 925 Fitness. Check me out on Instagram. Haven't posted in 3 months. And that's because of imposter syndrome, like 100%. Like, I started that like almost 6 years ago. I think 2016 was like when I first started it. And part of it was I didn't want to be that guy posting gym pics on my personal page. So I was like, let me just do it on another page that all my friends are going to follow and see anyway. But I wanted to make it into like a promoting health and fitness, especially for people who have full-time jobs and like relating to people who, you know, don't have the same time of day as a college student or someone who works part-time or someone who does fitness full-time.
Yeah.
And for a while it was, why would I even bother posting content? I'm not in great shape. Then I got over that and was like, okay, well, not everybody's in great shape, so they can follow my journey and see that it's possible. But then it became, well, I have no credentials. Like, I never went to school for any of this. Like, I'm a YouTube professor, right? Okay, I'll go out and get my personal trainer certification, which I did last year, which didn't teach me anything I didn't already know from YouTube.
You just got that piece of paper.
But now I have a certification that gives me some support, right? And then it still like wasn't enough. Then I was like, well, my content sucks. I don't make good enough reels. My YouTube videos are bad quality. And like, I'm still trying to get over that hump because it is something I'm passionate about. But my wife always tries to talk me into it. But that's my current imposter syndrome that I'm dealing with right now. And that's something that's been on and off for years. So to wrap up my point, you can have imposter syndrome outside of work, but it can linger into other aspects. Because I think at times that did play a factor in how I was feeling at my job.
Yeah, but like to go back to your 9-to-5 stuff, it also is like when you realize, like, I don't know, 50% of the people at the gym we go to are probably on something because they all can't be that big naturally.
Yeah.
There's no way. But to like kind of talk about things outside of work, like for us, just even starting this podcast, right? Like we were like, who the hell's going to want to listen to us?
I was waiting for someone to bring it up.
And you can hear it in the first 3-4 episodes of how different we sound, just being more comfortable talking in front of the camera.
Also, once you're 11 episodes in, you start to care less.
No, you can sound like an idiot.
No, in the beginning, it was like we were very concerned with, what are we saying and all this stuff. And now it's just more, like you said, natural.
Natural,
flowing,
yeah.
Well, just like...
Yeah, like we would write out pretty much the plan, like the full game plan start to finish of what we were going to talk about. And it's like that's extra pressure because it's like, wow, we have to do this. And now, 3 minutes before this episode, we were like, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. Like, everyone good? Okay. Welcome to Story Points. Like, there was very minimal planning needed, and I think that's shown a lot of growth.
It takes more time to put up the curtains.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think, Greg, doing this podcast helped or will help you with doing 9-to-5 content?
I think so. I've already started making stuff. Right now that I'm like kind of, I've been at my new job for over a month now, I'm kind of in a groove and in a routine. My wife just started working. We're in that routine. We have a son. So all of that was kind of needed to be solidified before I took on something new or not new, but like something additional. And so now I think I'm ready to start, but I need to really think about my game plan. But yes, like just being on this podcast and talking, I think just talking.
Yeah.
It's definitely helped.
Do you guys think talking on the podcast, I know you guys don't really like listening to your own voices, but has it helped?
Definitely not.
Helps you kind yourself. Of like articulate a little bit better, maybe at work, kind of get past that imposter syndrome, right? Because we're talking about certain topics and giving advice to people. And
I think definitely how I talk, it's changed how I talk.
Yeah.
Not so much like the confidence behind it, but just, yeah.
I don't think it's changed anything for me.
Joe's now when he onboards, he's like, hi, I'm George, front-end engineer at
That's my stand-up.
The guy's just like, what? What's going on here?
I am also front-end engineer at Capsule. Great, we have something in common.
Helped me talk because I hadn't worked for almost a year. 10 months.
Yeah.
And the only person I was talking to a majority of the time is my son who doesn't speak yet. So... You know,
honestly, that could help though.
A lot of baby talk and things like that. I think it's definitely.
It's your son pepping you, like, you can do it, Dad. Yeah. You got this.
Dad, yeah.
Breathe and brace. So, to kind of wrap it up, you guys have any piece of advice for people? George? Front end engineer at Capsule?
Imposter syndrome.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. It happens. It comes in waves. It's natural. And just go with your gut.
Joe?
Just go with your gut, huh? I would say a good way maybe to kind of get over imposter syndrome is to kind of talk to some of your peers. Like, I know one of the things that I tried to do was like talk to one of the senior engineers on my team and ask him for feedback. So not like from a manager, but from like a peer almost. Mm-hmm. And then say like, what can I do better and things like that? Because then like those are your peers, those are your people you're working with, and they'll be able to say like, you know, give you like actual candid feedback, I think. I don't know. I
feel or like tell you like, no, advice. You're doing
yeah, exactly. Fine. Or like reinforce that you do know what you're doing and it's not that you
so
have
almost
to
like
change
you
a bunch
can
of stuff.
Ask a mentor.
Episode
yeah,
11.
Yeah. I mean, it can tie into that, but I think that has definitely been helpful.
Yeah. For me, it's just look back at what you've done and like how far you've come. Even if you're like a fresh new grad, right? Like you've done all these projects, I'm assuming in your classes or your boot camps, right? Like just how do you have to change or kind of describe what you've done in a different light, in a different way to make it seem relevant to the company you're interviewing with or to different experiences that you have. Greg?
So the first is just reiterating
multiple.
You go last because you take all the good ones.
reiterating on what I had said before, like think there's many ways to strategize to get over it. And I think Joe, you said it works for you too, kind of being confident in your writing. So even in emails, I think can go a long way. It will eventually translate into the way you speak. See now you threw me off. I had a second one all lined up. Oh, I guess that it's natural. Like this is a common thing. So don't worry if you're experiencing it, if you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh my God, I have imposter syndrome. Like, don't panic. If you or someone you know is suffering from imposter syndrome, you can email us at storypointdevs@gmail.
Storypointdevs?
Storypointsdev@gmail.com.
Oh my God.
We'll get it right.
I'm a fraud, guys. I'm sorry.
That's your imposter syndrome talking.
Storypointsdev@gmail.com.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. Again, we are the Story Points Podcast. You can email us at storypointsdev@gmail.com. Please follow us on all social media, story_points, and have a good one.